beautiful you are, all things wise. And wonderful you are, my darkest night. You brighten up the skies, my soul will rise. I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are near. Calling me your friend, sing praise my soul to the maker of the sky. A soul will rise. Sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you and me are is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. I will sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know you and me, love is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are near is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down. Just to know that you are near is enough. God of heaven, come down, heaven, come down.
Call my name and I ring. Praise and all of the glory, God. sing praise, I sing praise, I sing praises to you, Lord. I give all my praise. Oh, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor, 'cause you are worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all, and he's worthy. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's worthy of all the praise. So we sing praise. We sing our praises.
put your hands together for the powerful name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wonder if we really understand what it is we're singing. If we really understand who we are. I remember the words of Jesus. I've read it so many times, and you have too. He said something simple. He said, "My kingdom is, oh, come on. My kingdom is not of this world." And I think what's happening in the body of Christ today is there's a redefining. There's been a redefining, and it's going on right now. And the church is being redefined. In fact, the church is being refined. Come on. It's being refined, but it's being redefined. God is causing us to examine who we are. I was reading early this morning and in the wee hours of the morning. For some reason, God has set my body clock at 4 a.m. For some reason, I don't know why. But at 4 o'clock, I wake up every morning. And it's time alone with the Lord. And this morning at 4 o'clock, I just began to read the letter of Paul to the church at Ephesus. Paul said this. He said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us." How many of you are blessed today? "In the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." For you see, the reality of it is, if we're not careful, we will concentrate on not the spiritual blessing, but the kingdom of this world. And we'll let everything that's going on in the atmosphere and in this nation and in this world, we'll let it sidetrack us and we'll forget who we are. He said, "For he chose us." Somebody say, "He chose me." "He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ." That's God's will for all of us, that we walk in sonship, that we walk in the sonship and the daughtership of the Most High. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of his grace that he's lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ." Listen, you and I are to be the salt. We're to be the light. And sometimes I think we'd lose track. In fact, this whole year has been a distraction. It's been a distraction. It's invaded the earth. They call it the pandemic. What does pan mean? Look it up. All, everyone, nobody's escaped this. Pan means all. It's everybody's included. It's not a U.S. problem. It's not an Asian problem. It's not just in one continent. It's affected the world. But can I just remind you this morning, you and I, somebody say you and I, are not of this world. We are here. We are here on this earth. But we're not to be like this earth. And this earth is so shaken up. This earth is so messed up. This earth is so confused. But you and I have to understand what Jesus meant when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." You are changed. You have been predestined. That was his will, and you've answered that. We believe in free will. Amen. And you've answered that. God has sovereignly pulled you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be so impacted by the pressures of this world that we'll forget what our destiny and what our purpose is. We're on assignment here. We're on assignment here. We are to change. I'm not called to be a thermometer. I'm called to be a thermostat. Come on. I set the temperature when I walk into the room. I set the atmosphere when I walk into the room. God has set it inside of me. Why? Because Christ is in me, the hope of glory, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when he's changed your life and set your foot upon a rock, he's also changed the destiny of other people because you make a difference. I'm so excited to hear what the Lord has to say today. I'm so excited that I have a friend here in the house today who's going to talk about the next steps in your life and the journey that God has you on. Listen, you've not come to to the kingdom for just such a pandemic as this. You've come for a greater pandemic that's coming on the world. Listen, there's a greater one. There's a harder challenge that is facing the world today, and that is the very end of time. We are living in the last of days. And it's important for us to know who we are and whose we are. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus that empowers me. What a lovely name it is. The name of Jesus that strengthens me and nurtures me and prepares me. In the 4 o'clock hours of the morning, He prepares me. Whenever He wakes you up, He prepares you as you open His Word and receive from His Spirit. It's a frustrating time. There's a lot of things I would change about America right now if I could, but guess what? All I can do is fast and pray, and be the salt and be the light that He's called me to be. We need revival. We need revival. The church needs revival. So many people have fallen by the wayside. So many people are comfortable just watching it online. And guess what? I've had all kinds of calls this week. Pastor, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Churches are calling. Pastor, what are you doing? What are you guys doing? I said, what do you mean? Well, the governor said, it doesn't matter to me what the governor said. It doesn't matter, because my kingdom is not of this world. Yes, we will follow we will drive 55 on the highways. But guess what? The church, somebody say the church, is exempt from this gathering rule. Okay? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm not going back. I'm not canceling services. This is the place where the Holy Spirit desires to move. I'm not sitting in a parking lot listening to it on a radio. I'm coming into the presence of God in His holy tabernacle. This is a place dedicated for the saving of souls. This is a lighthouse. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on. Wake up, church. If you're listening to me online, wake up, church. Be the church. Be the church that God's called you to be. Father, we pray that your beautiful name will just remind us today, as Paul reminded the Ephesians, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Though we're in an earthly kingdom, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And you've called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is the season for the church to rise up, not to quiet down. This is the season for the church to stand up, not to sit down. This is the season for the church to give, not just take. We give, we give, we give. We serve, we serve, we serve. We love, we love, we love. Why? Because He has called us to a different kingdom. The kingdom of our God and His Christ. Sing it again, Brittany. Come on. Come on, listen. Open up your heart. Open up your heart right where you are online. Open up your heart and receive. Receive a fresh mantle of God's presence and power in your heart today. God's going to do incredible things in this service. I believe that. I'm set optimistic this morning in the Spirit that God's going to do incredible things. Sing it one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Think about what you're singing.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against.
Nothing can stand against.
The heavens are roaring.
That's right, worship Him. What a powerful name. The name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You that we can be infused with Your power and Your passion today. Father, I pray that You would just touch our online audience today as well. Inspire, encourage, equip, nurture, empower. All these things, God. We submit ourselves today afresh and anew to Your plans, to Your purposes in us. We receive today the message that You've designed for us to receive in our hearts through Your spoken word in just a few moments. We position ourselves now to receive from You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, smile real big at somebody before you're seated. Come on. Let them see where your teeth are. Come on. Smile real big. Hallelujah. You can be seated in His presence. So glad you're here. So glad you're joining us online. If you're online, hit share. Send it to all your friends. Amen. And let them tune in today to hear what the Lord has to say to Carpenter Shop International Church. So glad you're here. And we invite you to join us. We have Wednesday night. We have Monday night Bible study in the book of Romans. It meets in the Family Life Center. We have Wednesday night Bible study. And also meets in the Family Life Center on the parables of Jesus Christ, and also online. But hey, I encourage you. Let me encourage you. If you hadn't already picked that up, let me encourage you to worship in person. Amen. Yesterday, I just bumped into all kinds of people this week. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Been a long time. Yeah, I know it's been a long time. You know what? It's amazing that we can go everywhere in the world except church. Come on. You see people, I know, I've just been taking care of myself, and I respect that, especially into older people. We want you to take care of yourself. But I see spring chickens out there just going all over the place, you know, in Sam's Club and I hadn't been able to get there. Well, you're getting here. What's the problem? What's the problem? You know, I understand, and I respect that. I have older parents, too, in their 80s, and I understand that arena is a lot more susceptible to what's going on in the earth. But listen to me well. If you're going everywhere else, you're without excuse. This is the place that you should be first. Amen. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He also said, as we see this day approaching in the book of Hebrews, He said, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Sorry, Governor. I'm sorry. We're going to meet, all right? We're going to meet. We're going to assemble. And let's just pray right now for the church. Lord, I pray in Jesus' strong name, that name that is above every name. I pray for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Would you, God, just as you're refining us and redefining us, would you have your amazing way in our lives and cause us, God, to triumph through difficult times. Cause us, God, to not just be a conqueror in the midst of this pandemic, but be more than a conqueror, like Your word says. Lord, I pray for our president. I pray for everything that's going on and on the national level. Lord, we've still got many, many days left in this year. And I pray that You would help the president of the United States, God, as he moves forward in Jesus' strong name. Father, I pray for every senator in North Carolina and other states. Lord, we're faced right now with the toughest of challenges to govern in a difficult time like this. The news tells us every day, it's bad, God. But we thank You that we are not of this world. And You have blessed us, as Paul said, with every spiritual blessing. I thank You, God, that You're Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. I thank You that You're Jehovah Nisi, our banner. I thank You that, God, that You are El Shaddai, the God who's the sender forth and more than enough for every situation we face. I proclaim this in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. God bless you. God love you. We're glad you're here. Giving time. Come on, it's giving time. And if you're giving today, you can give one of several ways. You can come forward at this time and drop your offering in the buckets here on the altar area. If you're giving online, you can do so by the PushPay app on your phone, or you can do so as you've set up electronic giving on your own. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. There are people that are not present in the house, and guess what they're doing? They're mailing tithes and offerings in every week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. One of our dear sisters we saw yesterday, and we hadn't seen in a while, she said, you know what, I've always been taught and believe God has to be paid. He needs to be paid, and yes, he does. So give your tithe. Malachi says, bring it. Amen? Somebody say, bring it. Bring it to the storehouse. Why? So that we can have food on the table. Amen? So that we can have light. So that we can have technology to touch 1,000 people this morning who are watching online. Amen? So we thank God for your faithfulness in giving. And I pray that God would just show himself mighty and strong in your behalf. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have friends. It's a wonderful thing to have friends. And I've been keeping up with this dear gentleman for some time now, probably a year and a half or so. And I felt, you know, in my spirit, I thought, God, you know what? I need to have him come to Ahoskie. I've been listening to him online. And he and I have mutual friends that have ministered here. He may be Kaija Lindsay's brother, for all I know. I don't know. But anyway, we're glad to have a Lindsay in the house today, and his name is Adonis. Would you give Adonis Lindsay a warm welcome as he comes to minister to us today? Come on, brother. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. How is everybody doing in the house today? All right, I'm going to give you another chance to redeem yourself because I love you so much. How is everybody doing in God's house today? Amen. Amen. Well, it is a pleasure and an honor to be here. As Pastor Wallace said, I think, you know, a while back he contacted me and just said, I've been checking you out. And so how many believe in God-appointed friendships and connections? Amen. It's where you don't have to make the call and try to set something up, but God drops it in your spirit. And so because I know God orders our steps, Pastor, I'm in agreement. I came today with great expectation for God to do something, for God to speak to somebody today. Amen? Came all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. All right. That's my home now, Nashville, but I'm originally from Texas. I'm a Texan. Yeah, San Antonio, Texas. I was born and raised there. Moved to Nashville back in 05. Met my wife there, so had our children, so we consider ourselves Nashvillians right now. But anyway, I love what Pastor said, kind of echoed what God's been dealing with me. It's like no matter where you live, heaven is your home. Come on, our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. And I believe God's going to speak to somebody today. Turn around, look at your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. Now, I speak in a lot of different places. I've been in ministry for a very long, long time, over 20 years. And God's just done some amazing things. And I speak in churches. I launched my own speaking business about 3 years ago. So I go into businesses, schools as well, and mentor and motivational speaking. But no matter where I go, Pastor, I always like to introduce my family. Sometimes they're able to come with me, sometimes they're not. But is it okay with you guys if I introduce my family to you guys? They got them up there on the big screen there. I've been truly blessed, amen? And there to the left, dressed in all black, that's my wife, Heather. Anybody ever watch those CSI shows? My wife, she is a forensic scientist. Now, you know, Pastor, I've had to learn to swallow my pride because when I get introduced to get on stage, everybody just gives me that nonchalant hand clap. But the moment I tell people my wife is a forensic scientist, I hear the ooh, ah, wow. That's all right. Yes, I married way up and out of my league, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's okay. I'm all right with that, okay? And, you know, we've been married going on, I believe it's going to be 13 years in February. And I remember, like, the day before we went to the altar to get married, my wife looked at me, and she said this, Pastor. She said, now, if you ever do anything to cross me, she said, I can get rid of you and all the evidence, and nobody will know what happened to you. So I'm here to tell you today, I not only fear God, I fear my wife, and I walk a straight line. Amen. So we got married, and at a very, very early age, when my wife was a teenager, the doctors told her she'd probably never have children. How many know when at some time in your life, you've got to make a choice. Whose report will you believe? They told her something when she was a teenager, and she told me about it, and we looked at each other and said, well, we're just going to trust God when it comes to that time. We trusted God, and we had our firstborn son, Grayson Lindsay. There he is. He's 10 years old. He's a baseball player, loves God, loves people, just a joy to be around. And then we knew we wanted to have two kids. We felt like God wanted us to have two. And then our second child, you can tell she's got a little sass about her. Nobody has to tell her how to pose. She does it automatically. It's an instinct. And that is Carrington Mae Lindsay right there. She is 8 years old. She is our miracle child. And I know you hear that a lot, miracle child. But I want you guys to hang in there with me, because at the end of this message, I'm going to tell you a story about our miracle child and the process that this story no doubt will empower you to step into the next thing that God has for you. Amen? Now, don't let me forget. Sometimes I forget. I tell people I'm going to tell the story, Pastor, and I get so pumped up and fired up, I walk off stage without telling the story. But I need somebody to remind me today. Mm-hmm, because you don't want to miss this story. But give my family one more hand clap. Love them, love them, love them. But I'm here today to remind each and every one of you that I believe that we're in some crazy times, but we also have some crazy faith. Come on. We're in times where we can't let anything dictate how we should act other than the Word of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit is moving upon His people to prod them, to nudge them, to challenge them, to step out and do the very thing that He's stirring on the inside of them. How many ever had God stir you up? Now, let's be real honest. How many guys had God stir you up, but before you got out of bed, you talked yourself out of doing what God told you to do? Uh-huh. Don't get mad at me. That's how easy it is. God stirs us up to do something, and before long, we start having a conversation with ourselves. Well, who do you think you are? God must have chose the wrong person. There's no way you can stand up and do that. Don't you know what you've done? And the moment you begin to have those conversations, you talk yourself out of taking the next step into seeing what God was about to do. And the only problem with that is it's not just about you. Listen, when God comes knocking on the heart of your door, it's not about you. It's never been about you. It's about the people that He wants to reach through you. It's never been about you, but it's about all those that are lost, all those that are needing a light to be shown, all those that need somebody to show the path and show the way. We've got a responsibility on each and every one of us to do the thing that God's called us to do. Amen. Now, if anything, today I want to leave you with this one question, and this is kind of the title of my message. Years ago, when I first moved to Nashville, Tennessee from Texas, moved in and, you know, I had to go get my license changed. Anybody ever change states and you had to go, you know, and so I knew I had to go to that wonderful place called the DMV. Uh-huh. Yeah, I knew I was going to have to go there and you know, I had to go in my prayer closet. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to go in your prayer closet before you go to the DMV. Know what I'm talking about? Yes, yes. And so in my prayer closet, I felt like the Lord gave me this amazing idea, just inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to wake up early in the morning. And I'm going to go down to the DMV before anybody gets there. So I'm excited. Got a word from the Lord. Just get up early and beat the crowd there. So I'm getting dressed, getting up, pull into the DMV. The only problem was about 100 other people heard from God as well, and they were already there. Disappointment hit. How many of you ever been disappointed, frustrated, discouraged? Listen, my question to you, when God sets you up to do something and you get disappointed, what will you do next? When God prods you to do something and it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out, doesn't work out the way you envisioned it in your mind, because when we envision something, we never envision the setbacks. We never envision the hardships. We never envision the slam doors. We never envision the rejection. But when faced with it, what will you do next? As I pulled into the DMV and I saw the long line that was outside the door, I mean, some thoughts ran through my mind. I'll just come back. I mean, you've been there. God, I'll get to doing what you told me to do tomorrow. God, I'll get back to church next Sunday. But I said, no, I got to take care of this. I got to get this done. And I got out my car. And by then, I'm mad. You know, I'm kind of frustrated, irritated. And I'm standing in line. And a bunch of other people, everybody's mad at the DMV. I see husbands and wives fussing with each other. Nobody looks happy. Everybody ticked off. And you know, when you're in ministry, you have to catch yourself sometimes when you're in a public place. And I'm like, Lord, don't let nobody see, because I don't want people to see me frustrated. And then in your mind, you're already playing the conversation you're going to have with the person at the counter. Because God forbid you get to the front of the line and you got the wrong paperwork. So I'm there, I'm frustrated, I'm mad, I'm irritated. As I look up, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And he said, Adonis, I want you to look and I want you to listen. So I started looking and I'm seeing people that are just as irritated as me. But then I heard something. As everybody in that line was frustrated, I heard one word that changed everything. As we were there, we heard a word that came from the front of the line. And that word was what? Next. And the moment somebody called out next, everybody took a leap forward. And I'm here to tell you today, no, I do not work at the DMV, but I believe God's going to use me to speak a word to you, and he's going to challenge you today to take the next step, to do what he's called you to do with the dream, with the plan, with the unction that he's been giving you. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. What will you do next? Listen, faith requires you to move before anything happens. So many times we're waiting on God to unveil everything. And I believe with all my heart, God will come and stir you up in the middle of the night. He'll wake you up at 4 a.m. Then he'll sit back. He'll plant a seed, plant a thought, but then he sits back to see what you and I are going to do. Faith requires action. See, the Bible says David ran to meet the giant. He didn't contemplate. He didn't think about it. When he was on the battlefield, he took off running to meet the giant. He didn't call 1-800-PRAYER-LINE. He didn't consult with non-giant killers. See, so many times when God gives us a dream or a vision, we call the wrong people. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Amen or ouch. We end up calling the wrong people, and if we're not careful, they could be secretly jealous of the dream that God has given you. No, child, you didn't hear from God. You know, you had some bad pizza last night. Let me counsel you. God wouldn't tell you to do that. We're talking to people who ain't never done anything for God. David ran to meet the giant. Noah finished the ark before one drop of rain fell. Can you imagine that? Come on. Come on. God told Noah, listen, I'm getting ready to do a thing in this earth, and I need you to build an ark to save a generation. I need you to build an ark for me. And we read that story, and we skip over the humanity part of it. This is a man out there. Every day got to get up and fight the mind monsters that are dealing with him. Come on. Noah, what are you doing there? You're crazy. Y'all ain't seen rain in years, and you're getting out there building. God told me. God told me. God told me. Can you imagine all the friends that passed by laughing at him? Come on. But there he was. Every day he had to get up and take the next step and finish what God told him to do. What will you do next when God gives you an assignment that is impossible? That is beyond your skill set. Uh-oh. That is beyond your ability. Joshua and his army had to march around Jericho in silence before the walls fell down. Sometimes God will call you to do something that doesn't make sense. These were warriors ready to go out with the scream, with the shouting. God says, no, I need you to shut up and march around seven times. I believe some of the things that are most detrimental to the plan of God comes out of our own mouth. Mm-hmm. Comes out of our own mouth. We sabotage our own plan. Come on. Sometimes we just got to be quiet and let God be God. Amen. Y'all still with me today in Ahoski? Am I saying that right? Ahoski? 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 I knew y'all would correct me. That's all right. That's all right. Ahoski. I'd rather be right than wrong. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to die. Y'all, this helping anybody right now? Come on. Give me a hand clap to encourage me. Y'all got to keep me going. Listen, I can't preach unless you help me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that scripture. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Now, the only thing with that is, yes, God has a plan, but I must participate with God. I mean, no, he's not going to do it all on his own. It's not going to show up on a silver platter. I've got to be a participant in the plan that God has for my life. Make no mistake about it. If it's God's plan, it's beyond your skill set. If it's God's dream, it's far beyond your ability. If it's God's purpose for your life, it is beyond your comfort zone. Listen, nothing great ever happens within your comfort zone. You can go around praying for greatness, but unless you step out of your comfort zone and quit caring about what people think about you, quit caring about what people are going to say about you. Here's a little extra that won't cost you nothing. A friend of mine told me this years ago. He said, Adonis, you know what people are going to think and say about you? I said, what? He said, whatever they want to. What's he saying? You can't spend your time worrying about what people are going to think and say about you. You got to be too consumed with God's opinion and following his plan for your life. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to do something, but he needs us as his people to be willing participants. Now, I'm going to go over a very familiar passage of scripture, but y'all stay with me. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with him. Y'all got to stay with me here because this is where God's going to begin to deal with many of you here. As we talk about Moses, you've all seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. Come on, you've seen Charlton Heston himself. You've seen it over and over. But this particular time I read it when God was dealing with me about this particular message, something stood out to me that had never stood out before. And I want to dive in here with you guys. We're going to catch up with with Moses and the Red Sea and God's people. In Exodus chapter 14, we're going to start around the 13th verse, but let me back up and give just a little precursor here. This is where God's people were in bondage. They needed a deliverer, and God raised up Moses for them and set them free. And can you imagine on that day everybody was singing praises to Moses? Man, Moses, you're awesome. You're the leader of leaders, man. But here's the thing, guys. Listen, when God's calling you to do something, don't get hung up on the praise of people. Don't let the applause of others be the confirmation that you need. When God's calling you to do something, you've got to be convinced whether people are with you or not. You've got to be convinced that you're going to follow through, whether you've got the approval or whether you don't. In Exodus chapter 14, everybody was excited. They were free. They were walking in victory, singing praises, until they came up against an obstacle, which was the Red Sea. Isn't it funny how when things are going good in our life, we're blessing God, we're praising God, we're giving God acknowledgement, and the moment something goes bad, we begin to talk a little bit differently. The children of Israel came up against an obstacle, and all of a sudden, the first thing out of their mouth was, "We should have stayed in Egypt." The first thing that came out of their mouth was, well Moses, you've brought us out here to die. One obstacle, one little obstacle, they forgot about how big their God was. One trying moment. Listen, if God's given you a dream, you might as well go ahead and factor in the fact that it will be tested. It will be tried. You will feel like quitting. You will feel like giving up. But you got to be committed to follow through. And Moses, being the great leader, when he sees the people of God and they're confused, they're talking about going back, they're talking about that he's not a good leader, Moses did what every other Christian person would have done, every other Christian leader. Exodus chapter 14, y'all still with me? And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Let me know, that sounds good. Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, I call that the moment where Moses just had to be a leader, had to stand up and convince the people of God. They've already seen miracles, but how quickly they forgot because they're up against one little Red Sea. Moses said, "Stand still, listen, God's going to fight for you. Just hold your peace. Just hold your peace." Now, I love that because as I begin to read a little bit further into that, between verse 14 and verse 15, this is where we're going to learn something here about our human nature. Between verse 14 and verse 15, it strongly suggests that Moses had a breakdown moment. See, a lot of times we read the Word of God, we read the Bible, we think everything just happened right at verse after verse after verse, but there's some time in between. Verse 14, he's saying, "Hey, listen, hold your peace. God's going to fight for you." Verse 15, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" So wait a minute. Moses went from standing on his soapbox saying, "Hey, listen, God's going to fight for us," because he's got to put on the faith face. I mean, as Christians, we can be real good at putting on the faith face. Come on, can I be real with y'all today? Come on, come on. We can be arguing all the way to church. About to cuss one another out. Get out of the car. Praise the Lord. God is good. This is going to be a beautiful Sunday. They don't know we almost got divorced in the car. Oh, bless the Lord. How are you doing today? Yeah. Because we know how to act. A friend of mine said this a long time ago. He said if Hollywood ever ran out of actors, they could go to the, Moses knew how to act, knew how to put on that faith face and in front of the people. He was being a leader. But I'm here to tell you today, listen, when God gives you an assignment, you can't fake your way through it. You got to understand, listen, God needs your humanity to lean into him, not the fake person. And in the midst of that, between verse 14 and 15, Moses had a breakdown moment like many of you and I would have had. Had a conversation with God that probably went something like this. God, okay, now you brought us out of Egypt. Now we got this Red Sea. Now we got the people talking about killing me. I'm not a good leader. They want to go back to Egypt. But God, I've told them you're going to show up. Now, when nobody's looking, Moses is crying to God. God, I can't believe you led me out of here. I took a step of faith. Now I look like a fool. Now they don't trust me. God, is this the best you can do? Then he's about to lose his mind. Woe is me. And he's crying. And God has to say, hey, hey, hey. My mission for you has not changed. Listen, don't get discouraged in a temporary delay. That's for somebody right there. Don't get discouraged in a temporary delay. Listen, delay is not denial. God is still setting up. You guys, God is moving pieces on his chessboard, putting things in motion for you. Don't turn around in a delay. Don't give up in a delay. Be committed to see what God's going to do. Amen? This is when you find out the dream that God gives you will separate you from the crowd. It does. It'll separate you from your cheerleaders. It will separate you from people that are singing your praises. And I believe the reason God allows that to happen, because when God uses you to do what he's called you to do, listen, people will not be able to sing your praises. They will be singing God's praises. Like King David said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, there they were, caught up in a situation. By then, Pharaoh was unleashed again. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. They got God behind them as a pillar of cloud and fire by night. Pharaoh's army's coming. Can you imagine the pressure that is on this leader right now? This is for somebody right now. Listen, you don't have all the time you think you have to do what God's called you to do. Don't get caught up in this wrong philosophy thinking, well, if it's supposed to be, it'll be. No, that's a lazy spirit that wants to wait on God to do everything. God's miracles do have a timetable. He needs you to stay focused and committed to get through it. And as Moses is there and he's crying and God says, get up off your pity party. Anybody ever thrown a Holy Ghost pity party? God, nobody knows what I'm going through. Say, get up off your pity party. Get back on your feet. He said, quit crying to me. And he gives him this command. He gives him this command in verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, verse 16, we're going to camp out. He says this. Now, we've all seen the movie. But he says, but lift up your rod. Everybody say your rod. And stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, I thought, wait a minute. Now, if you read that scripture, this is God's response to Moses. God sees the predicament that they're in. He sees they're up against the Red Sea. He sees that Pharaoh's coming after them. And he tells a man, he says, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand, and you divide the sea. Anybody catch that? And I think Hollywood kind of mesmerized us because we've seen Charlton Heston jump up there and all of a sudden he lifted up his hands and God came in and divided the sea. But God is telling a man in this scripture to do what is humanly impossible. Moses, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand, and divide the sea. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Moses back then, and God told me that, I would have to give it a test run first. He's like, wait a minute, God, I just had to redeem myself by telling people that you were going to fight for us because they were talking bad about me. And God, I just got back in a good position with your people. Now you're telling me to divide the sea? Okay, God. Okay, listen. You know, Moses probably went back to the people and said, okay, God's going to fight for us. Y'all go ahead, go to sleep. If I'm Moses, I'd have waited till everybody went into their tent. Went to sleep, I'd have walked out by myself in the middle of the night by the edge of the water. Okay, show me a ripple or something, God. Come on, you'd have been there. You'd have been at the edge of that water seeing if something's going to happen. You needed confirmation before you took the next step. Listen, God doesn't need to confirm anything to you. You need to trust him. God will set up a situation. I believe he's talking to many of us today, even in the times we're in right now. Listen, there's an entire people that are depending on you and I to do the next thing that God's called us to do. Moses is standing there, and I believe God stands over in the shadows just waiting to see. He's watching Moses. He's commanded him to do the impossible, and Moses is human, and he gets to a place where he's got to make a decision like you and I. See, I love it when God sets me up to do something that I know I'm not qualified for. Because if I'm not qualified for it, but God is speaking to me to do it, then everything relies upon God. I just have to be the vehicle to take the next step. I tell people all the time, listen, God's not concerned about your level of education. So many people got enough degrees behind their name to be called Fahrenheit. God is not impressed with your degrees. He's impressed with your obedience. Listen, your knowledge doesn't move God. Your faith moves God. Your charisma doesn't move God. Your faith moves God. And Moses is standing over there like you and I, and he's wrestling with this decision. Do I step out and do the impossible, or do I go back to a group of people and tell them, listen, we're going back to Egypt? But he hears the chariots coming. The threat of what was is coming to drag them back into captivity. As a child of God, he's got to make a decision. He's got to make a decision. He's got to decide. What is he going to do next? See, some of you are on the verge of talking yourself out of doing what God called you to do. Some of you are on the verge of talking yourself out of taking that step of faith that could change the lives of thousands around you, but you're struggling with that decision. God, am I going to look stupid? Am I going to look foolish? Am I going to crash and burn? What will they say if it doesn't work out? Isn't it something how we worry so much about things that probably won't even happen? But Moses finally comes to a place where he realizes, Pastor, it's not about him. It's never been about him. It's been about God's people. And I remind you, it's not about you and I. It's about the people's lives that are hanging in the balance that need you and I to trust God enough to look foolish. To trust God enough to say, I don't care what happens, God, I'm gonna be obedient anyway. And Moses is there, and finally, after he's taken it on some test runs and nothing's happened, and he's still struggling with this. But listen, I'm telling you, God will put you in a position where you will have to make a decision, not based on your life, but based upon the lives that you know God wants to touch through you. So finally, Moses gets to this place, and I love this, because God asked him to do something that was humanly impossible. Verse 21, like you and I, we have to come to that place. God, when you're calling us to reach our community, when you're calling us to reach our family, when you're calling us to be a difference, when you're calling us to bring light into darkness, when you're calling us to stand and not go the status quo, Moses made that decision, and this is what happened. This is what happened. I love this, because God is standing in the shadows watching to see if this man is going to attempt to do something that is humanly impossible. Verse 21, the Bible says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Everybody say, over the sea. Can you imagine that? He's stretching out to do something that is humanly impossible. He stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused. Everybody say, the Lord caused. It says, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. Listen, God never showed up or did anything until Moses moved first. Faith requires action. The moment God saw Moses lift his hand, immediately God caused a strong east wind to come and fix this situation. Listen, the moment you begin to take that first next step, that's what it's all about. God begins to release miracles your way. He begins to release the blessing. He begins to release whatever it is to fix that situation. But you've got to take the next step. You've got to be willing to do the impossible. You've got to be willing to do the ridiculous. You've got to be willing to do something that you know you're not qualified to do. Take the next step. You say, well, I'm not educated. I don't have enough degrees for that job. Fill out the application anyway. Can you imagine that? God, here, God, I don't even know why I'm filling out this application. I know I'm not qualified. They told me I'm not qualified, but I'm filling it out anyway. You know what? You know what? When you're doing that, God is releasing the east wind. Because see, that application shows up on the whoever's going to be hiring you, and they call you in, and they will begin to talk to you. I don't even know why I'm calling you in right now. I don't even know why I'm even looking at you. I don't know why I'm even going against my own policy. Well, you know why, because you took the next step. And God calls the east wind to come. Come on. And set you up in a place. Set you up in a position. You've got to be willing to take the next step. I don't know what God's calling you to do. You know what God's calling you to do. But you've got to take that step. Quit talking yourself out of the very thing that God's calling you to do. See, many of you don't even believe it right now, but you're already pregnant with a promise. The fact that you're dreaming about it and you're feeling God is nudging you to do something, you're already pregnant with it. Now you've just got to walk it out. Look at your neighbor and say, walk it out. You got to walk it out. You got to walk it out. God's already given it to you. You've got to walk it out. Now I'm going to close with this. This is my first closing. I know you guys are new to me, so I usually have about five of them. Is that all right? It's my first closing. As I told you earlier, if you could put my family's picture back up there, my little girl, Carrington, was our miracle child. And this is where you got to hold on. Because God will take that dream through some mountaintops, and he'll take it through some valleys. He'll take it through some dark seasons, but you've got to hold on. Me and my wife got together, we prayed, and we felt like God wanted us to have children, and it was a struggle. How many know your dream is going to be a struggle? It's not just going to come automatically. We tried to get pregnant, and nothing happened, and we ended up having to go to the fertility doctor. That was a long road, because that's when you're like, God, what is going on here? Went to the fertility doctor, and they checked us out, and you know, we grabbed hands and said, we're going to submit ourselves to go to this doctor, but ultimately we're going to submit to God. Went to the fertility doctor, they put us on some medication, and months later, we got pregnant with Grayson, and we were excited about that. Grayson came out into the world, and we knew we wanted to have a second child, so we started trying again on our own, and we got pregnant on our own, second time, and about 2 months into that pregnancy, and this is where you got to listen to me here. Because once again, when we envision something, we never envision the setbacks and the mishaps. Slam doors and the rejection. And about 2 months into our second pregnancy, my wife called me. I was at the office. She called me, and she said, I feel something going on in my stomach. And we took her to the hospital, and we had a miscarriage. And, man, just almost like all the wind was sucked out. And it's like, man, God, really? And we told just a few friends, just a few close friends, maybe three or four people, so they could pray with us. And we didn't tell everybody in the church. Not that we were embarrassed, Pastor, but that there are some people can't handle what you go through. Come on. Not everybody can handle what you're going through. So be careful who you reach out to when you hit a moment, when you're on a journey. And you hit a moment that's a temporary setback, don't reach out to the wrong person. I've been in the church world a long time, and sometimes, let's be honest, church folk can say some crazy stuff sometimes. Tell the wrong church person something, they'd be like, well, maybe the Lord didn't want you to have that child. Or here's one right here. Maybe you opened up a door to the devil somewhere. And I thought, yeah, you know what, man, you're right. I opened up a door to the devil when I told you what was going on in my life. So I'm about to shut that door right now. So we only reached out to a few people that were like-minded and had faith, and they prayed with us. And we went back to the fertility doctor. They put us back on some medication. And we start trying to get pregnant again. And we thought we had got pregnant. It was like 2 months had passed by, no cycle. And we're like, man, but my wife kept saying, I feel like I'm pregnant. And we're like, okay, but, you know, so we went out and we got four home pregnancy tests. Now, I don't know if you know anything about, you know, on that journey of going to the fertility doctor, I had stock in the pregnancy tests. That's how many. I almost brought some with me to sell them on my table. I need to get my money back from those. But she took four tests and they were all negative. Negative. Still no cycle. And we're thinking, man, what is going on here? And she kept saying all the time, she goes, I feel like I'm pregnant. So we went down to the doctor. The doctor checked her out and came back in and said, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Lindsay, I'm sorry, you're not pregnant. And you don't even show signs that you've ovulated. They said, so we're going to prescribe some pills for you to go get these pills, flush out your system, and y'all can start trying later. And it's almost like, man, just the wind. We're driving to the pharmacy. I'm crying. She's crying. You ever been in a situation where you felt like all hope was gone? See, here's the thing about the devil. If he can get you to turn your eyes off of God, he's after your faith. Remember, Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And if the devil can get your faith, that's when he gets your promise. As we're driving home, I mean, we get the pills, we're driving home, and I remember handing those pills. I remember the sound they made. Anybody got a pill bottle? Help me out with my illustration. Just a little pill bottle. I won't read the label. I promise you. I'm not going to read the label. There we go. Yeah, run that down to me. Y'all got to get this. Here I am, a man of faith, power, and victory. I'm a preacher, pastor. But yet, the devil's got my faith. So I put my faith in what the doctor said. I promise not to read the label. I can't. Oh, we're going to pray for you after service. No, I'm joking. I didn't read it. I take these pills, pastor. I put all my faith in what the doctor said. And I remember that day as vivid like it happened yesterday. We walked into our house. I handed these pills to my wife. And I said, well, let's just do what the doctor said. Take these pills, flush out your system, and then we'll start trying again. I handed these pills to my wife. She walked into the bathroom. I sat on the edge of our bed. I put my head in my hands, and I started thinking about plan B. Man of faith, power, and victory. Here I am. I'm thinking about plan B. I'm thinking about, okay, we can do what the doctor said. Totally, the enemy, the more I'm thinking about plan B, my faith is slipping away. See, the Bible says there's power in agreement. Jesus said, if any two of you can agree on touching anything, the moment I started thinking about plan B, I heard the door open back up to the bathroom. My wife walked out with these pills still in her hand. Still in her hand. I never will forget what she said. She said, I know what the doctor said. Said, we're not pregnant. I know I've got four failed pregnancy tests laying on the counter already that say negative. And she's shaking these pills. She said, but I feel like I'm pregnant. That's what she said. That's what she said. I feel like I'm pregnant. And the moment she said that, don't know about you men, but I thank God for Holy Ghost wives. Amen. The moment she said that, faith hit me again, Pastor. Come on. I stood up. I said, babe, you're right. She said, I feel like I'm pregnant. She said, I'm going to go in. I'm going to take one more test. We're holding the very thing that could flush away, I promise. She said, I'm going to walk back in. I'm going to go take one more test. Because remember I said we had a whole stockpile of those tests. She took one more test. She came out. She held it up. I put my arm around her, and I had one of those crazy conversations with God. I said, God, we need to see two pink lines instead of one. And 30 seconds later, two pink lines appeared. What am I saying? I didn't even get the power of what happened till maybe a year after our daughter was born. She's running around the house, and I'm thinking to myself, she wouldn't even be here if we had followed the direction of somebody that told us she wasn't there. Now, here's the thing. When my wife went and took another test, it wasn't that my daughter just magically appeared in her womb. She was already there through four failed pregnancy tests. My wife was already pregnant when the doctor told her, you're not pregnant, you haven't even ovulated. Come on. How many of you will hold on to somebody, to a promise, when people are looking at you saying, no way, it's impossible? We were already pregnant through the rejection. We were already pregnant when we didn't see any signs that we were. I'm here to tell you today, I came all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that God is dealing, you are already pregnant with it. You just got to walk it out. You got to walk it out. I look at my daughter today. I joke about it to say she's feisty, and she is. She is. She can be feisty. She can hold her ground. She defends herself. She even defends her older brother at times. The other day they were outside, and some older kids came and were saying something to my brother and his friends, and my little 8-year-old daughter said, hey, girl, I don't know who you are, but you can't talk to them that way. And I remember asking God, God, why is she so strong-willed like that? And God reminded me, because she was inside her mama's womb fighting for her life. She was fighting for her life. She was there. Come on, we are people of God. God says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. My daughter was alive and well inside my wife's womb, hoping we would take another test, hoping my wife would put the pills down, hoping we didn't go by the doctor's report, but we went by the Lord's report. You're already pregnant with it. There's a promise fighting to stay alive on the inside of you today, right now. All you have to do is be committed enough to take the next step and to walk it out and to see God bring about a miracle in your life. And not just for you, but for all those that are around you. Come on, anybody ready to take the next step today? Come on, somebody bless the Lord with me. Somebody bless his name. Come on, he's an awesome God. Y'all stand to your feet with me. Listen, I believe with all my heart that God has empowered you, whatever it is that you've been thinking about, whatever it is that he's been nudging you to do, still requires your participation. Yes, it's easy to get discouraged, but it's also easy to get full of faith. Come on. It's easy to get full of faith. It's easy to acknowledge, God, this dream, this desire, it's so much bigger than me. How can it come about? And God's just waiting on you to take the next step. Some of you got ideas in here that need to be given birth to, and these ideas could change the lives of hundreds around you, but until you take the next step. Some of you dream about seeing yourself used by God, but then you wake up and that humanity hits and you're concerned of what others will think and say about you. But until you take the next step, that's when God begins to move. The Red Sea never would have parted unless Moses stretched out his hand. The moment God saw a man commit to doing something that was humanly impossible, what was God looking for? He was looking for his faith. And I believe that same God is still looking for that same faith here among us today. Who will take that next step? Some of you right now, God's dealing with you. He's been dealing with you. There's an assignment on your life. There's souls that are hanging in the balance because they're waiting on you to do what he's calling you to do. And the moment you take the next step, that's when his empowerment comes. That's when everything begins to fall into place. But he needs you to take the next step. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your word, your anointing, oh God. And Father, I just declare that right now you are getting your people ready, in position to take that next step, to see the miraculous take place. Listen, if you're here today, I want you to get ready. As I said this throughout my message, faith requires us to move before anything happens. And I believe God is looking for a sign. Action is a physical sign that, God, I'm trusting you no matter what. I'm trusting you no matter how I feel. I'm trusting you no matter how many times it did not work out. I'm still trusting you. God, I'm ready to push past 4 failed tests and still reach my promise. God, I'm ready to push past closed doors and missed opportunities and people telling me no and the rejection. God, I can push past that and still see the promise. That's you today. Listen, I'm going to do something. This is not for you. This is for the people who God's connected to you. See, you're somebody's deliverer, whether you realize that or not. You're somebody's answer to prayer, whether you realize that or not. I want you to think about whatever it is that God's calling you to do. Come on. Those that you know, God's been stirring you, and you've been dreaming about it and talking about it far too long, and you're ready to take action today. On the count of 3, because I believe God is looking for action. On the count of 3, I'm going to yell out one word across this congregation, even online. This is for you. I'm going to yell out one word, and God's going to wait to see your response. And as you hear this word, your response is joining me at these altars, and I believe God is going to pour out his spirit and empower you stand and follow through and see the promise. Don't wait for your neighbor. Don't wait for your friend. Don't wait for a family member. But if that's you, listen, this is you struggling as Moses was struggling in that midnight hour. God, do I take this risk and look foolish? Or do I stay where I am? I want you to get ready. Listen, on the count of three, I'm going to yell out one word. I want you to join me as quickly as you can. If you want to respond to what God is putting on the inside of you. Here we go. Get ready. I believe God is moving, but he's waiting on your response. I'm going to call out one word. One word that requires a response. Father, I thank you for empowering your people today. But if that's you and you're ready to step into the very promise that God has called you to do, I want you to get ready. One. If you're ready to let go of all your fears and anxiety, and you're ready to step into it, this is for you. Two. If you're ready to quit caring what people are thinking about you, and God, and you don't care if you crash and burn, you don't care. You're going to follow through. Here we go. Three. Next. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. Next. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Come on, let's throw our hands up high towards heaven. In the name of Jesus, Father, we declare. We thank you, Lord God, for moving us, positioning us as your people, Lord God, as your children, to be empowered by your Spirit. To step into the unknown, to step into your destiny, to step into the arena that you've called us to. We declare it, oh God. We thank you for your Spirit, for an empowerment in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for releasing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break off fear. Intimidation. We break off regret in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you for a tenacity like never before. That we will push through, Lord God. That we won't give in. That we won't give up. But we'll stay true to the vision that you've given us. There's an empowerment in the name of Jesus. God, that you're empowering your people right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, there's an east wind. I feel a strong east wind that's coming right now in the name of Jesus. There's an east wind that's blowing into your life. Come on, somebody receive that right now. There's an east wind. There's an east wind that is blowing into your situation. There's an east wind that's coming, that's departing the problem. It's parting the obstacles in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We declare it, oh God. There's an east wind that's moving across the land. There's an east wind that is moving across the land of your heart in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you're empowering us to do the impossible. You're emboldening us to step out of our comfort zone and do what we know you've called us to do, oh God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. There's an east wind that's blowing. Thank you, Father. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, by His Spirit in the name of Jesus. It's by His Spirit in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank You, Lord God, that You're ordering every step, that You're putting us in places that You've designed us to be in, oh God, that we'll be instruments to bring about Your glory and Your righteousness. We thank You for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we bless You, Lord. We bless You, Father. It's an east wind. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We declare it right now that You're causing an east wind to blow, that You're blowing out all doubt, that You're blowing away all unbelief, that You're blowing away intimidation, that You're blowing away regret, oh God. May Your east wind blow away our past experiences, oh Jesus. We declare it today, right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh God, cause us to stand for You. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We bless You, Lord. We bless You, Father. In the name of Jesus.
I see hope.
Thank You, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh God, we thank You. We declare right now, victory is ours. In the name of Jesus, we bless You, Lord God. We bless You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. In the name of Jesus,
You are our God.
There's an empowerment that is coming towards You.
We give You praise.
In the name of Jesus,
of the glory, God.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Therefore we give You praise.
Thank You, Jesus, Jesus, Lord.
Oh
God, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father.
I see You.
Thank You, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank You, Father. We bless Your name, oh God. Thank You, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
Give You honor, worthy Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
I see glory is falling in this place.
Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord.
I see hope.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
The world is
Jesus, Jesus.
I see praise. I see. Worthy Jesus,
Jesus,
we give You praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give You praise and all of the glory, God.
Oh,
we give You praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We
let's just stretch our hands up high towards heaven. Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You seal this moment within our spirits, oh God. We thank You for the empowerment from this day forward to move into the promise, to step boldly into our destiny, to fulfill the assignment on our life without any intimidation. We thank You, Lord God, for Your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to empower us, to show us the way. We thank You, Jesus. Father, we give You all the praise, all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, if you love him, give him a shout of praise in the house. Come on, somebody bless his name. Come on, somebody bless his name. Come on, he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless him one more time today.
We give you all.
Come on, Carpenter Shop International Church. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I went to church today, Pastor. I'm glad I came to the house of the Lord. Amen. You guys can be seated. I'm gonna turn it over to Pastor in just a few seconds here, but it's been an honor and a privilege to be here. I believe I'll be back tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. If you're watching online and you're local, listen, be here. I'm telling you, God's going to do some more amazing things tonight. Be here. I'd love to meet you. Right before I go, I brought some products with me today. I'm an author as well, but I brought a few things out there. Me and my wife, I showed her on the screen. When we got married, you know, God took us on a different dating path. It was just different. I was a single associate pastor in the church. And when I saw her, you know, I couldn't just walk up to her like, hey, babe, what's your number? You know, so it was different. It was a different dating experience. And we got with our pastors, and they kind of put some boundaries in place and some leadership over our dating. And years later, we wrote about our dating experience. It's called Dating in Black and White, because we realized 50 Shades of Grey doesn't work for everybody, okay? We got to do this God's way. Amen. So that's out there. It's a great relationship book. The book I talked a little bit about next, this is a great, great tool just to help anybody. It's more mainstream, so we deal with a lot of practical stuff. I mean, you know, God can give you a dream, but you still got to do the practical work. Amen? So I deal with a lot of things, just some practicality, letting go of some old mindsets, because so many people get hung up on what did not happen. We get stuck in what did not work out the way we thought it was going to work out. And so we've got to let go of some stuff in our mind, get that dream off the shelf, put some feet to our faith, amen, and walk out the promises, all about you taking your next step. My wife, not only is she a scientist, she's also a brilliant cook. Do y'all do the Daniel's fast here, Pastor? Okay, so at back at our home church, we would do the Daniel's fast, and my wife is a vegetarian. And so a lot of the members would call her, email her, and say, hey, Heather, can you send me some recipes for the Daniel's fast? And so my wife researched it, and she came up with a full-color fast way cookbook. So this is for anybody who wants to do the Daniel's fast or anybody who just wants to start implementing a more healthy diet into their lifestyle. Great stuff in here. Me and the kids eat it, and we're still here, so it's all good. But hey, ladies, these books go pretty quick, so I've only brought a few of them with me, but I'm telling you, they go pretty quick. And then for anybody, this is my latest audio CD. It's called 5 Mindsets That Move You Forward. It's about an hour where it's just my voice talking to you, helping you with your mindset. I believe with all my heart, we've got to stay in the right mindset. Come on. Even in the times that we're in right now, to keep moving forward into our destiny. So all these are out there. I'll be back at my table. And you know what? God takes care of us, guys. We're not trying to profit. All proceeds go to feed hungry children. Ours. Okay? Thank you, guys. God bless you. It's been a pleasure.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give it up for Adonis Lindsay. Amen. Hey, please. Very, very seldom do we have evening services, but we need you back here tonight at 7 o'clock. Come on back and receive from the Lord. Bring some friends with you, okay? Come on back tonight at 7 o'clock. Let me, as the worship team is closing out, let me open you up to just sow into the offering this morning that'll go directly to Adonis and his ministry. So as they're singing and worshiping, would you come and give and participate in the offering? Father, thank you for the blessing of next today. the challenge of next today in our lives, Lord. No matter who we are, how old we are, where we are on our path, Lord, you have new chapters, new assignments for us. And we give you praise and honor for all that you accomplished in our spirit, man, today. In Jesus' name. Bless the gift and giver now. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. God bless you as you give. If you're writing a check, just make it to the church. God bless you all.